Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A true story in the public domain. Terence James, known as Jamesy, was a Welshman in his early 40s, married to Marilyn, a heavy-smoking, hard-drinking party-goer, tearing down the freeway of life. Jamesy had no time for church. Then one day he went to the doctor, had an X-ray, and it was shown that one lung was clear and white, the other lung was black and diseased, completely diseased. His number was up, for he had lung cancer. And it was terminal, and he didn't have long to live at all. Somehow the local vicar, Reverend Jeff Waggett, from the Anglican parish of Christchurch in a town called Ebwa Vale in Wales, was called to the home. He walked in and Marilyn was sobbing and Jamesy was in shock, and there was an atmosphere of death in the place. In the room was a vase of brown coloured carnations, looking all dried up and lifeless. Jamesy was glad of the visit and found he wanted to pour out his heart. The vicar, Jeff, didn't quite know what he could say other than, "Would you like me to pray for you?" Jamesy had run out of options. He couldn't exactly dial 000 for help, of course, and so he agreed. And Jeff just prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't explicitly for healing, but that God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, would send his Holy Spirit to come upon Jamesy and do whatever God wanted to do. The vicar just prayed quietly and finished and blessed whatever God was pleased to do, which from all appearances didn't really seem very much at all. He could do little else but leave Jamesy in God's keeping. He left, and then something strange began to happen. Leprosy is the sort of disease you really don't want to know about. It's a bacterial infection which eats away at the skin and limbs can fall off. It's a disease that causes fear, and in Old Testament times people were shunned by their communities and lived in separate leper colonies. The law in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 said that the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as the person has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. This was also very bad news in a spiritual sense. In Numbers 5, 1 to 3, God told Moses to ensure that the camp of the Israelites was not defiled by the presence of unclean people. Otherwise, God couldn't dwell in the camp. So out they went. Those with leprosy and other infectious diseases were excluded from the camp, and therefore from the presence of God. The priests in those days were the ones who examined the sores and infections and pronounced the sufferer as unclean. Then if someone's infection cleared up, they'd be examined again by the priests. And Leviticus 14 details the law as to what happens then about sacrificing birds and lambs and returning to the camp but sitting outside their tent for 7 days, bathing, shaving off hair, and the person being anointed with oil as an atonement to make them clean. Wind forward about 1,500 years from when Leviticus was written. One day, along the road outside Jerusalem, on the border between Samaria and Galilee, comes Jesus, and he bumps into 10 of these dudes, and they call out to him loudly from a distance. Verse 13 from Luke 17, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They wanted to break free from their lives of quiet desperation, just as many here today deeply desire to do so. Verse 14, when Jesus heard their cries for pity and saw them from a distance, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests. That's what the law from Leviticus required them to do, and they obeyed. And as they went, they were indeed cleansed. It's just that nine of them missed the point and did so rather badly. They were probably Jews and no doubt had heard of this Jesus as a Jewish rabbi, one who possessed amazing healing powers, and as such, one who could be respectfully called master, but one whom they failed to recognise as Lord, as the Son of God. Or if they did, that was less important to nine of them than their healing. Their focus was on their healing and not on the one who healed them. And their concern was first and foremost to fulfil the requirements of the law and get back into the camp. There was but one, a Samaritan, a foreigner, who saw things differently and acted differently. He alone came back, verse 15, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This tenth leper focused on the person of Jesus as the source of his miraculous healing, and he expressed profound and sincere gratitude, and his response to his healing was not to be troubled about the law's requirements for being declared clean, but rather to worship Jesus, to throw himself at Jesus' feet in a display of adoration and praise. And Jesus' response in verse 17 is to ask three very poignant questions, full of dismay, I think, as to why only one of the lepers saw the big picture. His heart's longing would have been for all ten to praise God. For this one who lay at Jesus' feet, Jesus responded to the expression of gratitude and worship with a declaration of grace, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." All ten were healed of their leprosy and made clean in that physical sense, but only one was cleansed also of his sin and was truly saved and made well or whole in that spiritual sense. Nine chose to pursue the law, while only one decided to be a seeker after grace. The law teaches that God owes humanity blessing, and the only proviso is that there must be obedience to the law. And that's why the nine lepers ran off to get the once over from the priests, a la Leviticus. But all it needed was for them to just turn to the Son of God, to meet him face to face, to worship and praise him, to be cleansed of their sin, not just of their leprosy, and to be so very thankful and so very grateful for the miracle of healing that had happened. And it's so easy for us to make the same mistake as the nine lepers. We can all get trapped by the law, by striving to please God in order to get a blessing. We mightn't do the birds and lambs thing anymore, but deep down in our minds, we think we have to earn our way with God so that we can get a good deal in life. If we are seriously unwell physically or emotionally, we might even think we've done something wrong and deserve to be afflicted by God. We get that nagging sense that we're not really good enough. We worry about how much we sin and how often we sin. I think we'd be better off obsessing less about sin and becoming more obsessive about grace. But there you go. We get caught up in the sin thing all the time. We get in knots by thinking we must, we ought, we should, we have to. And when we do that, we actually set ourselves up for failure time and time again, and then we feel bad about ourselves. That's what the law does to us. It actually tears us apart on the inside. And pretty soon we're left with a whole lot of unresolved issues. And so over time, we become indifferent about our relationship with God. Gratitude for past acts of mercy dries up, and we grumble against God, and maybe, just maybe, we turn away from him. I believe that God would say to us today that it is so much better that we become seekers after grace, obsessive about the grace, about grace, and that we have only gratitude in our hearts, always thankful for mercy and grateful for grace, no matter what life may bring us. Many have come here today struggling with deep issues, living lives of quiet desperation, crying out for pity, to be touched and blessed and healed by God. Some are overwhelmed by problems and struggles without end. Some are locked into a cycle of grief and cannot break free. Some are in the pit of depression and despair and can't escape it. Some are struggling with family issues behind closed doors, and you cannot see an answer. Some here today are so tightly bound up by a habit that consumes and robs you of all joy. You've become obsessed about sin, and you're hiding behind a mask of pretense, and you long to be set free. Some can't forgive themselves for something that happened so long ago, and it torments you even today. Some here today are suffering pain and discomfort from debilitating medical conditions. And you've prayed and you've prayed, but the pain and discomfort continue and just drains you and exhausts you. And you wonder why God isn't listening. Some have illnesses or medical conditions that are severe and life-threatening even. And there's a bleak future and you're afraid. Some are feeling defeated in their faith and your heart has gone cold. The prayer team will be praying for you shortly. In obedience to James chapter 5, they'll anoint some of you with oil on your foreheads with the sign of the cross. It's called the oil of joy in the Bible as a mark of God's loving presence or grace being upon you. You're being set aside to receive a blessing from God. But that step of obedience does not mean that God owes us and that he must heal us. What it does mean is that you're not dialing 000 and trying to get help from the law, but rather you're calling out for pity from God. And you're stepping off the freeway of life and you're moving on to the holy ground of mercy and grace. And those praying will join with you as you cry out for pity. And they will ask God to be merciful, but none of us here today can walk in presumption or demandingness. There are no guarantees of healing today, because God doesn't promise to heal everyone in our lives here and now. And that's a mystery. For God is God, and his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. It's just that every now and then, God breaks through the natural order and does something quite miraculous and wonderful, and that surprises and delights us. Some today may be healed in an instant, in fact, or over the coming days as a process, while others will not be at all and will never understand why. Please don't be disappointed and don't grumble against God, but rather know that you've been immersed today, saturated in God's grace, God's pure love, and be grateful for grace and continue to worship at his feet just like the 10th leper and keep hoping for tomorrow. Some will have a strong sense of the Holy Spirit's presence, and maybe today there'll even be a dramatic encounter with God face to face, while others will feel nothing. That doesn't matter. God works differently with different people. And we're not focused here today on an experience as much as on the person of Jesus Christ. You might have little faith, or in fact no faith, as you come forward. But perhaps today you'll just reach out your hand and simply ask God to take hold of it so that you can journey through the rest of your life with God at your side and faith in your heart, faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what life may bring. For Jesus Christ went from the roadside that day, having met with 10 lepers, to the cross at Calvary, where he died, and then he rose from the grave, that he, the living Christ, would be able to meet with you today, bringing mercy and grace. And for all those who are deeply burdened today and in need of prayer, you might just feel terribly insignificant and unworthy. Well, I've got some great news for you. You qualify for prayer for healing. You go into the St. Alfred's Hall of Fame. Like the 10th leper, it's not about how much faith you have, the size of your faith, or needing more faith. Remember earlier in this same chapter of Luke 17, verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, and Jesus replied that you can do amazing stuff with just mustard seed faith. So you don't need bigger and better faith. Then Jesus talks about all of us in verse 10 as unworthy servants, and then this story of the 10 lepers, the foreigner, the Samaritan, the outcast from the camp, the rejected, the diseased, the one most unworthy of any divine encounter, is made worthy by meeting the Son of God face to face and worshipping at his feet and thanking him for mercy and being grateful for grace. We are all unworthy, my friends, unworthy of God's amazing grace. Luke talks of this right through his gospel, story after story. Our sense of unworthiness is tied very much to our faith. Because we come in all humility, and with a sense of our unworthiness, we walk on the holy ground today of mercy and grace. And we are ready in our hearts to meet with God and to be touched and changed by the Holy Spirit ministering to us mercy and grace in spite of ourselves, in spite of the secret lives of us, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sinfulness and even our obsessing about sin, in spite of the messiness of our lives, in spite of our mistakes and our broken relationships with others, in spite of the inadequacy of our faith. You see, regardless of how much or how little faith we have, those who would have any faith at all, mustard seed faith even, first recognize their own sense of unworthiness and then they approach God in all humility, crying out for pity in response to his mercy and on the basis of his grace, and they know it's got nothing to do with any personal merit on their behalf. Faith can only be exercised by those who know they are unworthy and who know they don't deserve anything at all from God. Jesus is teaching here with the 10 lepers that faith, mustard seed faith, is sufficient because it always operates in the realm of God's mercy and grace. And then from verse 20 in this same chapter, Luke 17, Luke talks about the coming of the kingdom of God. Being thankful for mercy and grateful for grace means that we can become kingdom people, living out grace-filled lives by giving thanks and praise for who God is and for what he so graciously does for us, no matter what life might bring. And what of Jamesy with the terminal lung cancer? Well, a few days after the prayer time with the vicar, Jamesy phoned to say he'd been to the hospital for tests and there was no sign of any cancer. He'd been totally and instantly healed. The vicar nearly dropped the phone. Vicars tend to react like that when God does something. And everyone was extraordinarily excited. It was truly miraculous. Jamesy was grateful to the vicar and was truly thankful that God had healed him. The amazing thing, you know, was that also in the morning after the vicar had prayed, Marilyn and Jamesy came downstairs. And what did they find? The dead carnations in the vase were white and standing upright. This is a true story. In gardening circles, I'm told white carnations symbolise pure love. disease and death had truly and miraculously been supplanted by healing and life. Such was the pure love of God for Jamesy. And he committed his life to Jesus Christ, and some 13 years later is still alive. Amazing grace. And for all of us here today, it'd be good to go back into our personal store of memories, to recall sacred moments, those times when God's grace broke into our own lives, when we encountered pure love and it changed us, and to once again today be full of gratitude for his amazing grace at work in our lives, for so easily we forget. Just like the tenth leper, those who would seek after grace are thankful for mercy and grateful for grace, no matter what life might bring. Just like the tenth leper, their mustard seed faith is grounded in the mercy and grace of God and not constricted by the law. And so their relationship with Jesus Christ is dynamic, my friends, and life-giving, and they become kingdom people living grace-filled lives, which is so much better than tearing down the freeway of life, as it were, at 100 k's an hour, with the cruise control locked, trying to dial 000, calling for the law. Shall we together be seekers after grace? Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we know ourselves to be unworthy of your amazing grace. We are so very grateful for who you are and for all that you have done and continue to do so graciously in our lives. We are truly thankful. We fall at your feet, for you alone are worthy of all praise. We ask that you, our Heavenly Father, would be wonderfully and even miraculously at work in our midst now, that your kingdom would come here and now by the power and enabling of your Holy Spirit, and that healing and salvation for many would come in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who met in all fullness with but one of ten lepers, the one leper who was thankful for mercy and grateful for grace. Come now, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, move in our midst. Be grace to us this day.